Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Come on, anybody thankful that God hears you tonight? Come on, if you know that He hears you. Come on and give Him a mighty shout of praise. Come on, from the back to the front. He's your peace. He's your God. I know that you hear me tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, anybody happy to be in church on a Sunday night at 6 p.m.? Why don't you go ahead and let out some praise all over this place? Hallelujah. Come on, do me a favor. High five like 14 people and say, tonight's your night. Tonight's your night. 14. That's one. You got nine more. Come on. You got 18 more. Come on. Tonight's your night. Tonight's your night. Hallelujah. Tonight is your night. If you have a Bible, go ahead and reach for it. And turn with me quickly to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, that's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to be reading from. Tonight, we're going to continue our collection of talks. And last Sunday, as we were at the Presbyterian Church, it just seemed fitting to pause for a moment in what we've been talking about. And because we had gone through a hurricane, I thought it would be fun to talk about really life storms. And so we paused last week and we preached from Mark 4 on a message called Completely Calm and had such great feedback about that sermon. If you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to go to the VU Church podcast and download it. But tonight we're going to jump back into our collection of talks, which is called The Church. Not VU Church, not a singular church, but The Church, capital C. And I want us to look at Matthew 28. This is what it says in Matthew 28, verse 16. Familiar passage for those of you that have grown up in church. This is what it says. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, if you believe it. Somebody said amen. And I want to continue in this collection of talks with this simple theme tonight, a bold mission. A bold mission. The church, a bold mission. And would you pray with me? Let's believe the Holy Spirit's going to do what I can't do, which is get right to your heart and deposit a word from heaven. Lord, we thank you so much that you've gathered us. Lord, we thank you for the incredible day that we've had thus far, but Lord, we believe that you still have more in store for us. So God, we posture ourselves right now to receive from you. That Lord, as the word is preached, Lord, we're believing that it's gonna fall on fertile soil, that fruition and growth would begin to take place. God, we love you. God, thank you for our church. Thank you for this community. God, we pray that you keep your hand on it, that we might continue to move forward. We honor you, we praise you, and if you believe it tonight, come on, all of God's people said?
Amen.
All of God's people said?
Amen.
Come on, turn up 6 p.m. service, make a little bit of noise tonight if I know I'm in the right place. Tonight, we're continuing what really began about 4 weeks ago, which is the church. And maybe you've heard that word, the church, before, and you've often wondered, where did this title come from? What does this name even mean? Did man make up this name? And really, the church was not a man-made idea, but rather it was a God idea. And the word church comes from a Greek word, and the word is ekklesia. And as you start to study this Greek word ekklesia, what you'll find out is that ekklesia really refers to a gathering or an assembly of Jesus' people. Now, this is really good news because a lot of people think that church is a place that they go to, but really the church is the people of God that whenever we gather, guess what? God shows up. Isn't this good news? VU Church doesn't own a building, but we don't need a building to be a church. Guess what? We are God's ekklesia. And we've been talking about different metaphors, if you will. Really, at the heart of what we're talking about is that we don't want to get lost in doing church and forget that first and foremost, we're called to be the church. And so we've been talking about who we are. The church, in one portion of scripture, is known as the bride of Christ. And we talked about this idea that, guess what, you can't love me and not like Don Cherie. Yet how many Christians have we met that say, I love Jesus, but I don't really like the church? I think it's offensive towards God when we speak this way. If we knew that the church really was the bride of Christ, I think we would come around her, resource her, equip her, and make sure that she had everything that she needs. Talk about the church being the body of Christ, that you and I were the hands and feet of Jesus, that this world is actually looking for Jesus, but when they look around, because the church is not functioning as individual members, as one body, guess what? The church, instead of running, oftentimes is limping, and the world is looking for God, and they can't seem to find God because the church forgets that we're the body of Christ. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. And then Don Cherie, how many of y'all love when Don Cherie brings the word? Come on, give it up for my wife. She taught on the idea that the church is the building, that you and I, we are the building of God. Not bricks and mortar, but rather you and I, our very lives are living stones being laid upon one another. And when we gather, we form a home for our God. And we've been talking about who we are and what we are. But I think there's a question that we've got to answer. And the question is, now that we know who we are, what is it that we're supposed to do? What are you and I supposed to do as the church? Here's the good news. Jesus answers this question clearly and concisely. In Matthew 28, it's known as the Great Commission. Let's look together tonight. Matthew 28, verse 16. This is what it says. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, before we go any further, I want you to notice that the Bible says that there was only 11 disciples. How many of that when Jesus began his ministry, there was 12 disciples? But there was a guy, his name was Judas, and Judas, somewhere on the journey, opted out of God's plan, and he chose his own plan. Many times I've read this scripture, and it's grieved my heart, because I'm thinking to myself, I feel like Jesus probably wanted Judas to be a part of the next thing that he was doing, which was planting and birthing his church. But Judas chose his plan over God's plan. Judas chose his mission over God's mission. I think the basic question that you have to answer tonight is this: is your mission more important than God's mission? Because when I read 11 disciples, what it tells me is that you and I have a choice. And the choice is, do you want to be a part of God's mission, or do you just want to live out your mission? I grew up in a home with a dad who was a pastor, and he's my hero. He's larger than life to me, and he traveled quite a bit. In fact, his weekly schedule was nuts. He used to fly out early Saturday morning, land in a city, and on Sunday morning, he would start a revival crusade service. They don't really even do these anymore in church, but Sunday morning, he would begin. Sunday night, he would preach. And then Monday during the day, Tuesday during the day, Wednesday during the day, he would go to the different public schools and he would talk on things like real love and talk on anti-bullying. But he was doing it with a mission to get all the students to come to the revival service Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Dad would preach all those services, and then he would fly home Thursday. And from the time I was born till the age of 15, I would only see my dad 2 days a week. It was Thursday and it was Friday. So whenever Dad was around, it was always special. And Dad used to put us to bed at night, and he would tell us stories. And my dad, he's such an excellent preacher, but he would make the Bible stories come to life. He would tell me about Daniel in the lion's den. He would tell me about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we would sit there and lay there in awe, going, man, our God is awesome. Our God is big. But I'll never forget, before he put us to sleep, almost every night, my dad would look at me and say, Rich, I don't know what you're going to do with your life. I don't know what career path you might choose. Rich, you might be a doctor. Rich, you might be a lawyer one day. Rich, you might be a teacher. Rich, you might be an athlete. No, he never said I was going to be an athlete, but he, shut up. he would go through all these lists of things, but then he would say, but Rich, whatever you do, you're going to preach the gospel. Rich, if you're a lawyer, guess what? You're going to be a lawyer for Jesus. And although your career might say lawyer, your calling is preacher of the gospel. Rich, you might be a doctor and you might wear a stethoscope over your neck and you might check people's heartbeat. But guess what? You've got the living God on the inside of you, and you're going to introduce people to a God who can change their heart from the inside out. I don't know what you're going to do, Rich, but whatever you do, you're going to preach the gospel. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get me to understand that my specific mission must coincide with God's big mission. Some of you tonight, you don't realize that where you are, where God has placed you, is because he has you there for a mission. Oh, I'm just a sixth grade teacher. No, you're not. You're a missionary in a dark world, and God has put you on mission. You're a preacher of the gospel. You don't just have a career. You got something better than that. It's called a calling from heaven's throne. Come on, if you got a calling tonight, 6 p.m., why don't you make a little bit of noise tonight? You got one life to live. I got to make a living, Rich. No, you don't. You got to live for Jesus. Jesus has a bold mission for the church. The question is, do you want to be a part of it? Because Judas said, I won't be a part of it. I got my other plans. It actually led to his destruction, while the other 11 said, we're on board. Let's live out this mission. Tonight, we're talking aggressively, and we are talking directly to the church. And I want you to know that there is a mission from heaven's throne for you. So I want to give you three words tonight that we see from the text that's going to help you to understand what your bold mission is here on earth as a follower of Jesus and as one who is a part of the body of Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18, we're going to keep walking through this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Everybody say go.
Go.
Oh, we can do better. Say go.
Go.
First word in this bold mission is this word go. I love this idea of go because this is the theme of the Bible, that you and I are to live our lives sent, that you and I are to live our lives in a way, in a fashion that is to say, guess what? I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. You do understand that it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the absence of sense. Now faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we cannot see. Meaning if you want to please God, you have to be a person who steps out in faith. It's only in stepping out into the unknown that God truly makes himself known. You have to go. I see this theme throughout the Bible. Go all the way back to the first book, Genesis. You'll meet a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham is 75 years of age. He should be finding a beach house and getting ready to retire, but God stops him and says, yo, homie, I'm about to put you on mission. He says, I want you to go to the land that I will show you, and when you get there, I'm going to turn you into a father of a nation. Now stop for a minute. This is a crazy, crazy deal. The reason why it's so crazy is because Abraham didn't have any children. How can you be a father of a nation if you don't have any natural sons and daughters? How many of you know that 75 is not really a good ripe age to begin producing children? It's kind of nasty, right? Move on. Grandpa. Okay. But how many of you know that we don't serve the God of the possible? We serve the God of the impossible. Our God is not limited by your natural circumstance. Our God operates in the supernatural. So the Bible says that Abraham steps out into the unknown and he doesn't even know where he's going. But hear me, every one of God's promises for your life, every bit of your destiny, every bit of your God future always sits on the other side of you going, of you stepping out. Fear shows up and says, you can't do it, you won't do it, it's too big, it's too scary. But all of a sudden, faith shows up in our life. Faith arises and says, but I got a promise from God. I might be 75 years of age, but if God told me it's possible, I'm going to trust his word rather than my natural circumstance. Come on. Anybody got something right now in your life that seems to be impossible? You ought to praise God right now that he's the God of the impossible. He's a miracle working, wonder working God. Somebody praise him in this house. It's time to go. You gotta go. If you never go, you'll never know. Church was never supposed to live their life going, well, what if? What if we did? What if we did step out in faith? What if we did go for it? No, you go, God will show. Yeah. Some of you tonight, you're thinking to yourself, you're so in your head, you over-spiritualize everything. Can you just step back for a moment and relax? Yeah. I gotta go, I gotta leave the country. I gotta be like Abraham. I'm quitting my job right now. You got me going there, Rich. I'm done, I'm out, I'm done. Let's go. Africa, here I come. I heard a funny story about a guy And he told a story. A prophet came to his church, and the prophet looked at him and gave him this specific prophecy. He said, you're to quit your job and move to Africa. The guy got real worried and real concerned, so he went to his friend. He says, what do you think I should do? Should I go to Africa? And his friend said, I don't know what you're supposed to do, but I do know this. If you go to Africa, you better bring that prophet with you. Otherwise, you'll never know when to come home. See, you don't need some specific prophecy. Guess what? You don't have to go to Africa. You can go to your work tomorrow. You can go to your school tomorrow. And you can live your life sent by God on mission for God. You don't need some deep revelation. Why don't you just start with basic illumination of the word? What do I do next? What do you know to do now? I know that you're to live your life going. Stepping out in faith on mission. You got to go. Right. You can't live safe. You got to live taking a risk. You got to live not by sight, but by faith. This is the mission of the church. You say, why are you starting a second location in your second year? You guys are crazy. Is that some good strategy? No, it's not a strategy. It's called obedience. Yeah. We're just trying to be the church. Just trying to go. Everybody say go. You got to go, man. Until you go, you'll never ever see what God has for you. Right. Abraham could have stayed, could have opted out, but he recognized that God had a mission for his life and he had to step out in faith. You see, you serve a God who oftentimes is waiting on you to move. Many times when I travel on American Airlines, you'll give your ticket to the ticketing agent and then you pass her and you make your way to the jet bridge, but the jet bridge is stopped by these two automatic motion-activated doors. And it's kind of tricky because there's this little black pad in front of the doors, and until you step on that black pad, the doors just remain shut. And it's kind of funny to watch because many people, you know, they kind of get past the ticketing agent and they get back there and they can't figure out, like, where do I go? You know, like, where do I go? They're like, where do I go? Like, why won't the door open? You know, and like, they're like waving their hands. And then some people get irritated. Like, they're like, where? They left me. They left me. This is unbelievable. I'm going to miss my flight. I'm going to miss my flight. I'm going to miss my flight. But all the while, if they would just step out, the doors would open up. See, the doors are motion activated. Newsflash, your God is motion activated. When you move, guess what? God will move. If you'll do the possible, God will do the impossible. If you'll do what you can do, guess what? God will do what you can't do. Is anybody ready to move? Somebody give God praise in this 6 p.m. service. You serve a motion activated God. I want our church to live our life like a blank check. God, use me. God, we count whatever it costs, whatever it takes, whatever you want, whatever you need. Here I am. Cash me. Deposit me. Withdraw from me. I want our church to live with a mission that we are to go. As soon as we start to play it safe, let's just find something to risk it on, man. As soon as we think we got all the money, let's just find something to resource. Let's just find things to step out, because I believe the bold mission of the church is that we would go. We got to go. Everyone say go. Come on, give the Lord a big round of applause. You got to go. Continues in Matthew chapter 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The first word is go. The second word is make. You see, in all this going, it ought to result in making. Making what, you say? Making disciples. You see, when you step out in faith, it's with a tangible goal to share your faith. See, this is important to understand, because this is where the church gets different from the world. Because that whole first point that we just preached, we could go to any seminar, we could go to any kind of think big type of talk, TED talk, whatever, and just inspirational teaching, and we could preach that because it's really good. Everyone should be taking a risk. Everyone should not be living in fear. Everybody should be stepping out into the unknown. But this is where the church is different. We're not just stepping out for inspiration's sake. We're not just stepping out for fulfillment's sake. We're stepping out to make disciples. You're called to step out in faith to share your faith. Now, some of you, you're new to church, and right away you hear this term disciples, and you're like, dude, I knew it. This place is a cult. I knew it. Because it's like this weird word, but I think many times we don't have the right definition of what a disciple is. We think a disciple is like some course that you go to, and 10 weeks in, you get a certificate, and hey, I'm a disciple of Jesus. It's not true. Discipleship, according to rabbis in the New Testament, was really just, hey, come follow me, copy me, and mimic me. Watch me copy me. Watch me copy me. Watch me copy me. This is discipleship. And see, if you watch Jesus and if you copy Jesus, what you'll understand is that Jesus was really into making disciples. See, we're reading from Matthew 28 tonight, but let's go all the way back to Matthew chapter 4. This is really where the story began of Jesus' public ministry. And he comes in Matthew chapter 4, and look at this. He says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will, there it is, make you fishers of men. So Jesus is inviting some fishermen. He says, hey, come follow me. He's inviting them to be disciples. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So here's the question. The question is, if I'm not making disciples, am I truly following Jesus? Go a little bit further. If I'm not fishing, am I really following? Because I don't think Jesus is suggesting this. I don't think Jesus is just giving his opinion. He's saying, if you follow me, guess what? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to live your life on purpose, for a purpose, to make disciples. I'm putting you on mission. If you're my disciple, if you're copying me and watching me and following me, you're going to do what I do. And I'm really into making disciples. So here's a practical question. Does anybody at your work even know that you love Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
I got a feeling they know at your work. Sheesh. Everyone at the water cooler knows. Does anybody at your school know that you've had an encounter with God? Does anybody know that you've crossed over the line and you've made a decision to be bold about your faith? Hear me. You'll never make disciples if nobody knows that you are a disciple. This is basic. You want to live on mission? Well, it starts by letting people know that you're a disciple. You'll never make disciples if nobody knows that you are a disciple. It's just the truth. People have got to know. You've got to share it. You've got to let people know what Jesus is doing in your life. I love it because here's what the Bible says. It says, go make disciples, baptizing them in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now see, baptism is not one of these things that makes you a Christian, but baptism is one of these things that lets the world know that you are a Christian. And really what the text is telling us is that we're to go and we're to make disciples with the evidence and the sign that, guess what? We're raising up a generation, we're raising up a church of people who are bold and fierce about their faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to let the world know that Jesus has changed me from the inside out. See, making disciples is not easy. It will require sacrifice. It will require time and energy. I love this quote that I found from Harry Golden, who was a newspaper publisher. He wrote this. He said, if studies had been taken in the Roman Empire in 65 AD on religious preferences, they would have shown 51% for Jupiter, which was a Roman god, 30% for Zeus, and about 9% for Mithra, and about 10% for Jesus. See, I love this because this is an indication of how the faith began. Only 10% for Jesus. But I'm so thankful for a group of disciples that when they got the marching orders from Jesus, they didn't go, this is the great suggestion. Instead, they said, this is the great commission, and I'm going to have to go and get bold about my faith in order to make some disciples. Come on, church. Do we want to make some disciples in this house? Why don't you go ahead and give them a big shout of praise? We got to build them. We got to make them. We got to develop them. And it takes time.
That's right.
You know, my house, Don Shree is the builder. I tend to just, you know, pray and talk a lot. I know there's some men right now you're like, judging me, but like, yeah, my wife, like, we'll go to IKEA and she puts that whole thing together. Like, that's not my spiritual gift. It's not in my personality profile. Don Shree has a tool belt. Like, some of you guys are like, oh, this is unbelievable. Judge me all you want. She's happy with me, okay? So yesterday she came home with this building project and, you know, she was putting this like cabinet closet thing together and, you know, my heart went out to her, but But she was building, and literally she went for 5 hours with a friend of hers, and they were putting this cabin together, and they got done, they built it, and it was like, you know, this new addition in our house. And the only frustration was as Dontri finished building it, she was mad because the doors didn't really shut properly. And we started laughing, and we're talking, we're saying, man, it takes a whole lot to build or to make something. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes sacrifice. Friend, how many of you know, if it takes 5 hours to build some little cabinet, how much longer is it going to take to build a person? How much longer is it going to take to build and to make disciples for Jesus? See, what I want our heart to be here at VU Church is that we recognize that in making disciples, it's not a three-step, one, two, three, now you're done, give me another one. But rather, it's about you investing your life into the people around you. It's about us playing the long-term game. It's about us being patient and realizing that we got to be relational and we've also got to be intentional. But if we'll be the church that says, guess what? You can belong here before you believe. You can belong here before you behave. I got a feeling if we get committed to making disciples, we're going to get to the other side of eternity and we're going to see so many friends who crossed over with us into heaven's home because we were committed to saying, we're going to live our life on mission to making disciples. Yeah. You got to go. We got to make. And Matthew 28 verse 19 says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It's go, it's make, and lastly, it is teach. Teach. That the church, we have a mission, and that is to teach the word of God. Amen. You and I are called to teach. Right. And the truth of the matter is that I think almost every problem in life really comes down to a theological problem. And that is, who is God, and what is God expecting out of me? Some of you in this room, maybe you had a father who was absent, or maybe a father who was abusive, or a father who neglected you. And because of that one earthly relationship, now you have such a hard time interpreting this heavenly Father who says that his grace abounds, that his mercies are new every morning. You doubt it. You're wondering about it because you had an earthly man who distorted your picture of God, and you live your life with so many problems, and really the problem is a theological problem. You could be here tonight and say, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. The problem is your problem is still a theological problem. Because you're living your life from a paradigm and from a perspective that there is no God. And because of it, it's shifting all of your decisions. Yeah. See, the truth is that we're called to teach God's word because people need God's word. It was the psalmist David who said in Psalm 119 and 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Meaning that God's word, it guides us and it leads us and it moves us forward. We trust in the word of God. Let me tell you what, we live in a time right now, in a generation right now that is so confused and so broken. All you have to do is turn on the news and see how scared and uncertain people are. There's so many polarizing topics right now that we have to tiptoe around each other because God forbid we disagree. If we disagree, it somehow gives us a right to disrespect each other. And so many people are living their whole life going, man, geez, I got to be politically correct. I got to be politically correct. But friend, before you're politically correct, hear me, you better be biblically correct. You need God's word. And the church exists to teach the word of God. Remind them of my commands that they might obey everything I told them to do. Isn't it funny how we can start to go, I already know that. I already know that. My little niece, Carolina Lee, she lives in Louisiana, and she's a really smart little girl. But around two or three, one day, her mother, Destiny, was trying to teach her how to read, and Carolina Lee was faking it like she knew how to read. And as she was faking it, she was reading from right to left instead of left to right. And Destiny came over and said, Carolina Lee, she said, we don't read right to left. We read left to right. She says, I already know that, Mom. And that sounded like a two-year-old right there. And her mom said, okay, well, you need to change your attitude. She said, I already know that, Mom. Mom's like, dang, all right, well, Carolyn Lee, you need a more teachable spirit. She said, I already know that too. And it made me laugh because that's how many of us, we respond sometimes. I think we need to have a teachable spirit as a church. We need to be people that recognize we don't know everything. We need God's word to remind us of who we are. We say that we're teachable, yet our body language says something different. We say that we're teachable, yet every time somebody comes in with a good word of encouragement or even a moment of correction, we get so defensive. Because why? Because we're not teachable people. I think God's calling us to be a church that is teachable. That we'd be a church that lives on mission, that we would go, that we would make, and that we would teach. That we would go, that we would make, and that we would teach. That we would go, that we would make, and that we would teach. It's a bold mission, and it is the mission of the church. Come on, if you believe it, give God a big round of applause all over this house. Maybe tonight you're hearing this and you're saying, you know, Rich, man, I just feel like I don't qualify. I just feel like this thing's too daunting. It's too scary for me. I'm not ready to go. I don't know how to make. I don't know what to teach. Rich, I don't think I can measure up. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I have what it takes. I'm afraid. I'm scared. You know what I love about Jesus? Is every time that Jesus gives us a command, he always sends us out in strength. Notice, many times before Jesus commands, he typically comforts on the front end or the back end. And what I love is right here in the Great Commission is sandwiched in between two beautiful promises from Jesus. I took verse 18 and verse 20 and I put them together. Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20. Look at what it says. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Notice he starts out by looking at them. And before he ever tells them anything to do, he stops and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What's he saying? He's saying, guess what? I'm in control. I'm in charge. And when you go out, you're not going in your authority. You're going in my authority. This produces a little bit of confidence in your spirit. He says, not only that, he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm not just going to give you my authority. It's better than that. I'm going to give you my presence. You will never walk alone. When you step out, guess what? I go before you, I go behind you, and I go around you. I am with you. And tonight, I charge our church that we would live out the bold mission, that we would go, that we would make, and that we would teach. And as we do so, we don't have to walk in fear. We can walk in peace because all of authority of heaven is with us and his presence is with us. I was thinking this week, how can I illustrate this to our church? How can I get them to understand this? Because tomorrow is where it really counts for you to be the church. Tomorrow is where it really is the moment for you to go, for you to make, and for you to teach. And I was thinking, when I first moved to Miami, Don Cher and I, we moved to downtown Fort Lauderdale, and we lived in this condo apartment building. And it was a really cool building, but it was kind of a small boutique style building, only about 50 units in the building. And when I'd come home, many times when I'd come home, I'd get home right around when the mailman was there putting the mail in the mailboxes. And we had one of those kind of mailboxes that's like all the 50 mailboxes are there. And many times I would come in and I got to kind of know this guy. I'd say hello to him, but many times I would come and all the mailboxes would be open and he'd be putting mail in all the different units. And many times I'd say, hey, sir, how you doing? Good to see you. I was like, hey, can I just get my mail? He said, no. Do not touch the mail. I'm like, okay, but you know me. He's like, don't touch me either. I'm like, whoa, bro. I'm like, I know, but the mailbox is open. Can I just get my, no, don't touch the mail, sir, and don't touch me. If you touch the mail and if you touch me, it is a federal assault. I was like, bro, you are way too passionate about your job right now. Simmer down. It was so funny because he would always have to get rid of all the mail and close up all the mailboxes before he would allow me to go in and get my mail. And he told me, he said, Rich, if you touch me, it's a federal assault. I did some study on it. He's right. Do you know if I touch him or touch that mail, it's a federal assault or a federal offense? And the consequences for touching that man or for touching that mail is so much different from me just touching a regular individual in society. Why? Because the U.S. government has come around that mailman and said, guess what? We're going to give you all of our authority, and everywhere that you go, nobody's going to mess with you. Nobody's going to harm you. Nobody's going to touch you because you have a mission, which is to deliver some mail, to deliver some news to some people who need their information. Hey, VU Church, newsflash. You're nothing more than a mailman for Jesus. Here's the good news. Tonight you can step out in faith, recognizing that as you go to deliver the news, as you go to deliver the mail, if anybody gets in your way, guess what? We call that a federal assault, because all of heaven is wrapped around you. All of heaven has given you authority. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. You got a God mission. This ain't your mission. This is called the Great Commission. If you believe it, give God a shout of praise over this house. Come on.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church. My